Good evening. So this past week, I had the opportunity to travel with both of my grandsons, 5-month-old Julian and 16-month-old Bodhi. And having such extended time with them reminds me of how fast these little kids grow up. Those young ages, certainly both of them are at this different level of comprehension and communication, but each carries this large capacity to absorb new information and stimulate. Be it a person's face, a grand cathedral, a stunning sunset. The beauty of watching them grow in these early months and years is how they look at everything with an open mind, or what some people call a beginner's mind. There's no judgment. There's no ego that has to be fed. There's no persona to create or to maintain. They see things for what they are, and then they move on to gaze with wonder at the next view, the next object, the next piece of life that comes before them, all the while knowing that they are surrounded with an abundance of unconditional love. We, on the other hand, have greatly lost the most sense of a beginner's mind. I guess you could say we have seasoned minds, seasoned by how we were raised, by our environment, our preferences, and our own prejudices. Therefore, any new input, new sights, new sounds, new words are all processed through our own personal filters. And I'd have to imagine that this had to be one of the biggest obstacles Jesus faced in trying to teach his disciples about God's abundant love. Scripture scholars will tell us that Jesus, as far as we know, never wrote any papers or any letters. So the early church relied heavily on this oral tradition. For stories were told and retold and passed down from generation by word of mouth. That is why today, even though we have these written gospels, storytelling and careful listening is so important. It's why we stand here and proclaim the readings, so that the words are heard. The words will teach, so that the words will transform. Many Eastern religions, knowing that they were addressing seasoned minds, knew that for the words and stories to transform, the teacher had to use literary devices that would somewhat rock your personal foundation. They would shatter your rose-colored glasses in order to get us to literally think outside the box. And so, like other teachers of his time, Jesus taught using parables. And when asked why, Jesus responded, "Because we look and do not see, and we hear, but we do not listen or understand." So throughout the summer, we've heard a number of parables as told to us by Matthew that have challenged each of us to think differently. The sower and the seeds, the weed and the wheat, the birds and the mustard plant, the yeast and the leavened bread. At times, I think many of us would prefer scripture that was just black and white and allow us to skip these confusing parables that we get thrown at us. But Christ knew that he was not speaking to those of us that have beginner's minds. Rather, his gospel is heard by those of us who are rather set in our ways, and we often lack the ability to see and to listen and to understand. For parables force us to be uncomfortable, to be challenged, to step out of what we think in order to begin to see and to understand and to be open to change. This weekend, the gospel gives us one of the more rattling parables where Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven. In short, what we just heard was a story akin to this: half of the church went out first thing in the morning and worked all day long in the heat. And we, on this side of the church, we just showed up at 5 o'clock and worked for an hour. And we all got paid the same day wages. And with that, many on that side of the church would likely scream out, "Unfair." In our Western culture, since when is it fair that a person who works all day and a person who works only an hour gets paid the same wage? In discussing this gospel with my niece, who works within the National Labor Relations Board, and she speaks of assisting people who certainly have been discriminated against by their employers based on a number of factors. She says she also meets many people whose complaints are solely based on the fact that they are measuring their self-worth by what others have. For if someone has more, they feel belittles what they have, making their vision of life to be one that's just unfair. But this gospel is all about Jesus describing what the kingdom of heaven is like. The parable has nothing to do with union contracts, affirmative action, or discrimination. Rather, it's a clear message to us that God's love is a gift from God and not something we can earn. We need to stop applying our judgment as to who God loves and who God doesn't love. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of reward. It's a matter of rejoicing in the fact that we are all invited into the reign of God. The first as well as the last, the faithful as well as the sinner, and those with beginner's minds as well as seasoned minds. For in the parable, the landowner was generous on several occasions with different people. With the first group, he was just. With the second group, he was just and generous. With the third group, he was just more generous. In short, the landowner gave freely his gift of generosity. And the issue is the laborers focused so much of their energy on the perceived unfairness of how wages were paid, they missed the whole lesson of describing God's love. For it's parables like this one that resonate with our judgmental side and take us to those places where we want to cry out that life is not fair. For since we were very young and moving away from our beginner's mind, we would often get wrapped up into fairness issues. In the early years, we would ask questions such as, why do I have to wear my seatbelt? Why do I have to take out the garbage? Why do I have to do my homework? As we get older, the questions dig deeper into our souls. With cries like, why do I have cancer? Why do I wrestle with addiction? Why has my family abandoned me? Why do I not have a job? And most recently, why did Harvey or why did Irma hit my house, my community? These deeper questions, they have no answers. So often we say to ourselves, life is not fair. But many times when we feel we have a fairness issue, I think we need to look within ourselves. I believe we will find a place where we're wounded, where we are hurt, where we feel disconnected from ourselves and from others and even from our God. Often we can't control the events that take place in our lives. They just happen. But we can control how we will respond. Versus running from our pain and our own personal accountability, crying, unfair, we need to go to this place. We need to be still. We need to go back to using a beginner's mind and remove our filters for how we judgmentally process life events. We need to stop measuring what we have by pointing to what others have. We need to stop playing the scapegoat and recognize that none of us are perfectly clean and accept the deeper message in this gospel that we're all loved by a generous God who embraces the dirty. And in doing so, we may just find the grace and strength to let go of the pain and the hurt. Allow us to follow the example not of the vineyard workers who complained of the generosity of the landlord, but rather of our God whose generosity is available to us at the beginning of the day, at the top of the day, at quitting time, and throughout the night. For God is more generous, more loving, and more forgiving than we will ever comprehend. God's love can never be earned, for it's an ever-present and generous gift.